So again, finally, nearly out the door of the Velo City Conference. We're here with Andrew Montague, Deputy Lord Mayor of Dublin. And so just in summing up how you think the conference went, how this might actually move the city, in what directions, what are your feelings about it?
Well, there was two positive things that I took out of it, two ideas that I think are really important. One is the 30 kilometre per hour zone. I think there's huge challenges in it, but I think we're looking at it and we're debating it and talking about it. How are we going to bring it in? And as I say, we've got to bring in people of like-minded and work on this.
Just to clarify, sorry, this is Robert again. I'm still hanging around with Connor here. It's basically the plan is that the we have a natural barrier between the city and the suburbs, and that's the canals, the north and south canals. And the plan here is what we're going to try and bring in a 30 kilometre hour zone within that area for promoting the city as a place to be rather than a place to work. It's a place to live, to shop, to go to explore. There's so much of the city people would have never been to, and it's maybe a bit hostile because of these speed ethics and safety. The city isn't a nice place to be as well, pollution. So that's what we're trying to promote here.
Well, I think we have to, like the smoking ban that we're talking about, one of the things that they did, probably rightly, and maybe it wasn't their intention in the first place, but they took their time about it. It took them about 2 years of public debate, and by the time it actually came in, we'd all rehearsed the debate so often that nobody was shocked when the new measure came in. We had public acceptance of it. We have to have a notion of enforcement, though. People knew that if they smoked in a pub, they'd be in trouble, Whereas if people feel that they can drive it, can carry on driving at 50 or 60 k's, we won't work.
But the other thing there is the smoking ban hasn't worked because the guards are enforcing it, or the staff and the bars are enforcing it. It's because the public enforces it, and the people themselves are enforcing their own habits. So we want to make people to want to drive a 30 kilometre hour city.
We have to persuade them of the benefits of this.
And what other, has there been precedents of this 30 kilometre an hour in other cities around Europe, or the world?
There are a number.
Hilden in Germany. Now that's a small town. I don't know that there's been big cities that have done it. So that's a challenge.
It's an idea that's being raised, and we need to investigate more and make sure that it is the right solution for the city. But it sounds speeding is what's killing the people of the country. If we can slow down them in a certain part, well, maybe we can spread this idea that obeying the speed limits isn't such a bad thing after all.
And just taking it away from the 30 kilometre inside the inner circle zone, what other things came out of the conference? What other initiatives could happen to try to make Dublin more bike friendly, more of a leader even for healthy city development?
The contraflow idea that came from Brussels in particular, I think, was very interesting.
Could you explain that?
That's the idea where bicycles are able to go against the flow of traffic in one-way streets, which to me sounded counterintuitive. That's a bit scary. But actually, the figures that came from Germany in the first place, they've good research to show that it's actually safer on a one-way street to go against the traffic than to go with the traffic. That's because of parked cars. If you're driving against a parked car, they can see you coming rather than when you're coming behind them, they often would open the door in your path. And if a door does open in your path when you're going against the traffic, you can more or less push it closed, whereas if you're coming with the traffic, you're in big trouble if a door swings out in front of you. Yeah. So it actually proves to be safer to send bikes down against the traffic, and that allows bikes access to areas and easy access to areas where at the moment is quite difficult. Yeah. You just think of Nassau Street or Parliament Street or so many of those streets, Pier Street, where it would be such a huge advantage for cyclists to be able to go against the flow of traffic.
And what about, like we saw there with the cycle around the Docklands there, and I think the Tuesday evening, it was a massive success. 2,000 plus people on the streets of Dublin cycling around, highlighting it as a means to get around the city, but also as a social thing. That's the thing that we forget. Cycling is social. You can stop on your bike, you can talk, you get to take things slower. What about if the government and through the mayors tried to propose that there was more of these cycling things throughout over the year?
Well, I definitely think there should be. As somebody who's a politician and I cycle my bike everywhere, it's a good political thing to be doing, because I get stopped every day by my constituents along the way. who see me, who know I'm in the area, they would never see me if I was in my car, but they see me every day. They stop me and talk to me, and it might be just for a chat, or it might be to tell me some issue that's going on.
There was actually something I was just thinking about, we were cycling around, and I was handing out some flyers about our local campaign, and there were people coming, what's this about? I never heard anything about this, even though there had been a relatively good campaign. I was looking for the posters, so maybe I was just a bit more aware of them being there. Well, what I think might be a good initiative, if it could be redone through the DTO again, or the Dublin Transportation Office and Dublin City Council, is if we actually had maybe these events over like a 4-week period, where you did maybe every Saturday, you have a small one, the Phoenix Park, the Clontarf, all of these little areas, so there's this kind of a build-up of momentum, and by the last day, right through the city, the same as the Docklands event, you have a large mass of people who are aware that the... So you get those, as in like project things like the critical mass groups, you want to get those people aware, and you don't build up when it's only one day a year. It's like Car Free Day. It didn't...
Well, one thing I saw, I just was thinking about it, was this Cape Town cycle, where they have 35,000 people cycling around Cape Town. I mean, we could have, like, you know, we have the marathon every year for runners, you know, maybe if we had a 50 kilometre route around Dublin, and we had 30,000 people cycling around Dublin, I mean, that would be something.
We could have, like, bottom line, everybody, it seems, anyway, anyone I talk to, and from working projects all around the world, everybody goes, we want to go to Dublin, it's such a great place to go and have crack. If you can double that up, along with having something that's feasible and it's moving the city towards a more sustainable level, like, it's just a win-win situation. So trying to encourage the decision makers to try to bring these things into play.
On the June Bank Holiday weekend, and you could just have it an international thing, like, you know, a 50k route around the city, I don't know, I mean, it seems like a winner to me.
And you could get every council covered, and you get...
Yeah.
Especially when things like if and when the Sutton to Sandy Cove projects come on board,
but
there's an off-track route and then 30 kilometres around Fingal, South Dublin, into Dublin City, and they're all covered. So you get the full, it's a Dublin thing, Dublin Cycle Festival. Yeah. Who knows?
It could be a great tourist boost.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. And what about and the another side to all this is the how much discussion happened between VeloCity Conference and the citizens of Dublin? Do you think that could have been improved upon?
Yeah, I felt so. I mean, I don't know. I've been actually right involved in the conference, and I've been here morning and night, so I haven't been watching the media, and I don't know what they're... I haven't even got to read the papers over the last few days, so I don't know what they're... the rest of the world is thinking about it, but I don't get the impression like that a lot of people know about it. I was talking to my brother this morning, and he's a very keen cyclist. He would cycle, I don't know, a few hundred kilometres every week. He hadn't heard about it, you know? So I'm not sure how well it has engaged.
Yeah.
At least some of the decision makers were here, but then I was the only city councillor from Dublin City Council at the event.
Yeah, well, that's actually quite bad, I feel, anyway. But the... as well, like, it seems like...
It's expensive to get in, though. It's €900 to get in for a councillor. Councillors have a budget of 2,000 per year for conferences, so that's half your budget gone in one conference.
So, like, perhaps there should be some sort of openings, maybe to take in a certain percentage of activists in local community groups around, to bring in the voices from the streets, and also to enable that feedback session, so it comes from here, back out to the communities, back to the grassroots.
I felt that there was a lot of exclusion through the price. I know there was a half price in for people who are involved in community groups, but that €400 is still a hell of a price.
We our members had to pay €400 to get through, and that excludes... We were lucky, we live in the city, so we were actually taking in other campaign groups from across the country. A lot of us, we had about 15 people or 10 or 15 people actually staying with us, and who are other delegates, and they were paying €700 or, as you said, €900, plus flights, plus all the other expenses you have associated.
But maybe like earlier on, like, we were talking at the Rethink in the City conference, and there wasn't really much discussion about this event at that conference, I don't think, anyway, at the overall summing up. But one of the things that seemed to come clear from all angles and all levels of the groups that were at that were that if you're relying only on the sort of top-down decision makers just putting implementation into place, you know, it's in Ireland, it's not as effective as it could be. And that you, the critical thing is to get the communities, the grassroots on board. So like trying to maybe one thing that's come out of this Velo City conference is the fact that the actual structural mechanism has to be looked at, so that is enabled in the future.
I think you're right. I think you have a good point. Although I was very glad to have the decision makers. I've been coming up to the decision makers over the last year, bringing this idea and that idea. They were at the conference with me, and they were excited by the ideas too. And we were then at the meeting. I think you were there, Robert, and we were saying, well, how can we implement this? That was actually the contraflow system, and we had a good, you know, get together, and we were all determined to try and push that along. So that was pretty exciting, because I'm normally coming up against a brick wall with the city managers, but this time it was like we were all working together on it. So.
And another thing, I don't know, maybe you probably mightn't even be familiar with it, but a group have been trying to develop a greenway along the canals to make a circular 18-kilometer loop, which would be right around the edge of the inner city, through the Phoenix Park, Europe's largest city park, hooking up with the Botanic Gardens, which is already a nodal point for ecological thinking, and also plugging through a whole lot of communities, some very disadvantaged areas that have been left out of the decision-making process, which feel marginalised. So by trying to implement this, like, and we've started going around doing the cycle, trying to hook these up and trying to get the people on the ground aware of these ideas and to get something going. Like, we tried to have a forum down in Sheriff Street recently, but just because of some local deaths that had to be put on hold, but that will be going ahead. And we have contacted the mayors about this and it's great to see the mayors taking the initiative to have the four-mayor system that they had there a while ago as an open space for, you know, different people to come and to have their discussion. But what would you think? Would you think that possibly that might be an idea to look at, or was that even discussed at this Velo City conference?
That would be a wonderful idea. It's something that would always have been in the back of my mind. Anytime I see those canals, it just looks like a wonderful place to cycle. It's not in Dublin City Council, it's the Waterways, Waterways Ireland.
Office of Public Works and the Waterways, or Waterways Ireland. I'm not sure they're the...
But if the municipality was able to try to throw it out and try to facilitate the dialogue between, that would enable that to be realised.
I would imagine that any help that Dublin City Council could give, they would give to that project. I think it would be an astonishing... You know, Dublin relies on tourism. We're the third biggest city in Europe for tourism. But that's something that's never static. You have to keep battling at that, and cycling tourism,
and that includes all the different sorts of tourists that want to come in.
Well, cycling tourism is a huge money earner, I suppose, if you want to put it bluntly, if you want to get down to that level, and it could be a huge money earner for Dublin. But it's not a cycling tourism in Dublin. It's pretty low, isn't it?
We don't have our own cyclists. Why would anybody else come here to cycle?
But in terms of like this, we did the first Greenway cycle on Wednesday evening, and we went around the Greenway, and it's a pity that like we tried to get as best a relationship with the DTO and to try to highlight it and let people know through this forum, but we found it very difficult. So again, there could have been better avenues opened up.
I think that they've been very busy.
Well,
a couple of months probably.
Let's
really
get started. Let's get them fired up again.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like we on last Wednesday we cycled around and we stopped in the Phoenix Park and we set up. I was involved with a group in Banja Luka in Bosnia in an Eco City group, and we set up the Dublin Eco City group. So that's just to throw out the idea of what an eco-city is, because I don't really know exactly, but it's about asking a question and saying, oh, well, this is a more ecological way to run things or whatever. But we're going to do this cycle the last Sunday of every month. We're going to leave at 12 o'clock from Mayor Square, where the cycle happened, and go clockwise 1 week, or clockwise 1 month, anti-clockwise next month. So it's not always the south side that gets it.
Is it the last Saturday of every month?
The last Sunday at 12 o'clock.
I'll see you there.
Excellent. So that's something that we're trying to look at. And as well, it's not just a greenway, it's not just a cycleway, it's trying to actually look at maybe food production corridors and bringing life back to those parks that it goes through, like Sheriff Street Park and the other ones that are soon to be opened up.
Well, I think you spotted something there. A lot of those canals do go through deprived areas, and they could be very suddenly could be transformed to very the areas that people actually want to live in. You know, if you have a great facility like that running through your area, it'd be a big attraction to, you know, bringing people to come into that area.
It'd be similar to the ideas of the Dublin Docklands Authority type. That's redevelopment of those areas based on a focal point.
But and could waterways be are very attractive places to cycle. There's something that attracts everybody to cycling along the waterways.
And as well, there's
waste. It's a waste because you can't even walk along them. They're, you know, often overgrown waste. Can you actually cycle?
Not through all of it. At the moment, you can cycle around, but from Amiens Street Bridge, North Strand, down to Liffey, you can't. There's an architectural competition in place to open that up now. So the wall, the Sheriff Street wall is coming down.
Right.
That'll probably be 2 years probably before it comes. Right. And that's due to the developments of the Dockland Spencer Dock. But then there's the other issues, and which is why we're trying to organise forums with the community down in Sheriff Street, is to try to get the communities who have felt disempowered to get them to have a voice and become part of the, you know, the people using this. And
yeah.
So it is their area. It has been their area.
Yeah.
So, and there's lots of, you know, issues of the have and have nots, all that sort of stuff going on. But it's all this is about trying to, I suppose, put mechanisms in place to make a healthier city.
Yeah.
So
I think that'd be great.
Okay. But another thing we asked at the mayor's conference down in SIP2 halls, where was possibly trying to get the mayor, the Lord Mayor of Dublin, to look at Curitiba. Curitiba probably being the best example of an ecological city in Brazil, and maybe trying to twin up, or maybe other towns, good examples like we heard from the lady from Ghent just there a while ago, you know, who have already taken on more ecological initiatives. Maybe try to twin up and say we're trying to copy what you're doing, because you've set the wheels in motion. So
yeah.
So maybe that's something that the mayors could look at.
It would be worth looking into, but we've found in Dublin City Council that our twinnings haven't always been great. You know, you do have to have an awful lot of common with a city of Twinner. That's so I'm told. But that's what, when I've asked about twinning other places, I've been told, oh, you have to be very common. You can't just do it willy-nilly. But I know that we've, say, twinned with Liverpool, and not a lot has come of it, you know.
Yeah.
So I'm not as sure how effective that is as a mechanism.
But if this was trying to push for Dublin to become an eco-city,
yeah,
and looking at the world's best example of an ecological city,
yeah,
and trying to really get a live debate and live action on the ground to implement it.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah.
I'd be open to the idea. But I just, I don't know how effective it would be.
Yeah.
It might be.
Yeah. Well, I think the initiative that's underway at the moment, like at least having a space for the citizens of Dublin to openly meet the Lord Mayors, or the mayors of Dublin, and have that dialogue, that's at least the start of this more open process. And that's definitely what's needed. Like, that's, I think, what the nature of being a citizen is all about, that you're able to raise your voice, you know, so.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have new Lord Mayors in about 3 weeks, so I hope that they carry on that process.
Okay. So any final words? And we've just been joined by one of the Galway Cycling Campaign people here as well. So any final summing up words or dreams for Galway?
Well, get on your bike and just start cycling, Duncan. It's the only way forward.
Oh yeah, I've been on the bike a long time now.
Yeah.
But
I wonder, the other big thing that's going to happen in Dublin is when the Port Tunnel opens. Actually, what we've seen over the last 5 years has been a big improvement in safety. And I think that's a message that really needs to get out there. People believe it's becoming more and more dangerous to cycle your bike. In fact, the opposite is true. It's become safer and safer to cycle your bike in Dublin.
Yeah.
Some of that's just due to the natural congestion, because when you've got cars stuck in a traffic jam, they're not going to do much damage to you. But some of it, there have been a lot of safety improvements we have put in, you know, ramps and speed cushions in our suburbs and all that, and that they have improved the situation. But the biggest thing that's going to happen now is that we're going to have in a year's time, when the Port Tunnel opens, we'll be removing the biggest trucks, not all trucks, but we'll be removing the biggest trucks from the city of Dublin. And that, again, because what's the figure? Is it 75% of all fatalities are caused by trucks?
Mm-hmm.
So cyclists, but they're also the big proportion of, I'd imagine, of pedestrian deaths, especially in the cities, where you have trucks turning and people. We have people in the city. That's what we want.
Getting safer, and I think it's going to get dramatically safer again in a year's time. So we really have to sell the idea. I think we have to start selling cycling, you know, make it sexy, you know, get people, you know, as well as it being easy and all that. I think people associate, you have to be, as somebody called the fit and the fearless, to do the cycling at the moment. We have to get it so that, you know, so that you're 10-year-old niece or daughter can cycle, so that you're, you know, it's not a male-dominated thing. That you get young people cycling, you get old people cycling, you get, you know, across the range, people feel safe and can enjoy cycling. That's what we need to be.
And the other aspect, I think, from the conference is that it's not just about cycling, it's about using the transport system that we have here, the environment we have here, walking, cycling, busing, trains, Lewis, the car, they should all interact. And it's about, if you can't cycle all the way, cycle some of the way, cycle to the bus stop, cycle to the train station.
And being able to get onto the bus or the train with your bike.
Well, that's not so important, but if you could, that would be even better.
I think in rush hour that's not going to be feasible, but certainly. I was thinking, like, they showed us these buses in Washington where you can load your bikes up onto that. That would only work if there was very few bikes. Like, if there was 30 people getting on the bus with their bikes, it would soon fall apart. That's it.
But if we were getting to that stage, we'd already have come a huge amount along the line. But at least things are moving, and that's the great thing.
I hope. We get the statistics to say that cycling is declining in Dublin, and that might be true. But I'm not convinced the statistics are good enough, because they're saying the amount of people cross the canals, but we actually have an awful lot more people living within the canals now, so they wouldn't be crossing the canals. That doesn't mean that they're not cycling, though. So that mightn't be the best way of counting
it. And hopefully now in a few weeks, when we've the next Greenway Cycle Around the Edge, we'll have a whole lot of people more around the canals, and we're going to stopping off in the Phoenix Park, having a picnic, you know, putting stuff out, putting words out to the posters up in the hostels. You know, you never know, this new Greenway Cycle could become the best thing to do every month. Totally get more and more mature. Anyway, listen, lads, thanks very much, and sure, we'll see you all out in the streets. Okay.